from the heart of the earth to the world. RTI.
Hello, boys and girls. It's Basecard from Pop Brad with the ever delectable, I was actually called a nice person this week, Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the Tatry Mountains. And it's snowing like crazy here at the minute. It's fabulous. It's Basecard from Pop Brad and a sideways look at the news. Slightly sideways. Across the probably nearly frozen pond of the North Sea, it's none other than the young vivescent Mr. Banks in England. How are you, Lee?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you.
Anyway, we want to say best wishes to Bill Clinton, the US former US president, who's I saw the thing, he didn't even have like a knockout stuff, he had one of them injections in your back and they put some they put some what they called stents in his artery because the old boy was complaining about pain. And I have to say, he did look a bit tired when he was out in Haiti helping out, but the good news, he did. He did a bit, didn't he? But apparently, he's all okay. And I forgot that he'd had a four bypass thingy. What's it? Heart thing.
Now it's frightening, isn't it? It's all the stress of smoking those cigars, didn't it?
Yeah, right. You're speaking from experience, then.
Well, I'll tell you what, I am surprised that I am still on this earth.
Yeah, but me
We're
too.
We're doing a rock and roll show. I should be up there with Jimmy.
But apparently Mr. Clinton, or President Clinton, is in good spirits in New York, and that's nice to see.
Oh, not drinking again, is
it? Oh, stop it. Stop it. I'm glad his wife got over there eventually. Apparently his daughter Chelsea was the first one to go and visit him, which is really, really, really nice. Bless him.
So good. He's old. We call the Chelsea pensioner.
Oh, good luck, Mr. President. Hope you feel well soon.
Yeah, good luck on you.
Now I'm going to get annoyed.
Oh, all right then. Go on, get annoyed.
Because I am.
I get annoyed as well. What are we annoyed about?
I'm annoyed at Western Super Mud, I mean Mayor, in the UK. Apparently, a school has banned Valentine's cards to save pupils from emotional trauma. What the heck are you lot talking about?
And that's... Action with rock and roll is Leapy Lee.
Yes, Leapy Lee.
Little arrows
in your head. Little arrows in your... Stop it. That was
I've got a story to tell you about Valentine's Day. Finish this story first.
This is the deal, boys and girls. The boss of the school, the head teacher, has told parents that...
Can I just say that what? It's Ashcombe Primary School?
Yeah. If in about 15 years' time there's a bunch of wimps come out of wherever the region is down in Western Super Mud, we'll know why. They're going to confiscate any Valentine cards that go into the school. Mr. School Teacher Person, there is life out there, isn't there, Lee?
I know, I've just, while you were talking, yeah. I was just thinking, you know, when I was, I don't know, maybe, probably about nine, I was madly and passionately in love with a girl called Jane something. I don't know what she was called.
She obviously made a big impression, didn't she? Jane something.
Yeah. Well, no, it's like I wiped it out. Because I actually understand what this teacher's talking about. At first, I was 100% behind you, but I understand what he means.
Why?
I walked 2 miles to post a card through dear little Jane's door.
Right.
I actually saw...
What? He's gone, boys and girls. Marvellous.
I haven't, have I?
Yeah, well, you're back again now. Go on, off you go.
Oh, all right. Yeah, anyway, so I posted this card through the door. It fell on a Sunday, so we're back at the school on the Monday, and you know the whole school took the mickey out of me for taking a Valentine's card around to Jane. Now, so, in a way, I can understand what Peter Turner's on about.
The trouble is, so could I now, because look how you turned out. Oh, my God! But no, I mean, look, there's only so much you can wrap up kids. And what they're suggesting is that the people should send them via the post. No, Don't be silly. You get rejections in life all the way through. It's the way it goes.
That's almost like, I'm not pursuing that thought. Carry on.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, don't put your children near the fire because they'll get burnt. Yeah, we know that. That's why you take their fingers
off. Don't put them on stage. I'm not pursuing that remark.
And I have to say, boys and girls, there's a lady in the UK called Anne Widdecombe, who's a Conservative MP, who's quite outspoken about stuff at times, and I think she's quite sane, actually, as it goes, because she's said, it's only a bit of fun once a year, and it doesn't mean anything to kids of that age. I agree! I'll tell you what, I reckon it's the school teachers who are nervous because the kids might get more Valentine cards than they will.
Well, I think that's here's another side to Valentine's Day, right? Another bit of a traumatic way to look at it.
Uh-huh.
But do you remember we talked last year about my Russian stalker?
Yes.
Yeah, and she's been following me. She had another go at me a few weeks ago.
All right.
Anyway, yesterday, as I'm walking through town, she came up behind me. And she gave me a straight look and asked me, she said, do you have a date for Valentine's Day? And I looked and I thought, yeah, the 14th of February, like everybody else.
Yeah, but I know, did you read what the head teacher said? Children should wait until they are mature enough to understand emotionally and socially how to understand the commitment of having a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Do what? Do you know what? I can tell you now, boys and girls, one of the beautiful. The most beautiful love you can ever see is a little boy and a little girl holding hands walking down the road because there's nothing else in it. There's no ulterior motive for holding the hands. It's pure, unadulterated love for another person. What is wrong with that?
I remember my first girlfriend. She was called Lynn. And I don't know how old we were, but we were certainly of the age where nothing else arose other than a sort of beguiling, gentle, childlike love for each other.
Yeah.
And I remember lying in a tent, and I could feel her eyelashes on my cheek, and that, like, what, 50 years later,
yeah.
No, not that much, I think I said, no, 45 years later, I can still remember that first gentle touch of another human being, and it's beautiful.
You just reminded me, actually. Reminded me, and I'm just as embarrassed as you, because I can't remember her full name either. But to tell you how bad I was then, boys and girls, I can remember having a little kiss with her around the back of the school, about 8 years old, and she looking at me in disbelief when I said, oh, I've got to go now because I want to play football. Talk about romantic or what?
Here's one last bit of romance. Sorry, have you finished?
Yeah, that'll do. Go on, bit of romance.
Yeah. Like every now and again I tell you little snippets about my life with the wonderful Andrea.
Yes.
Well, last night we were connubialing, as grown-up people do.
I bet you're embarrassing to your son, aren't you? Or her son?
Well, I don't let them watch.
But no, you can just imagine them coming round to your house and staying over for the weekend and going, oh, my God, it's the parents at it. Oh, yuck. Phooey.
I know, it's terrible. We're like a couple of caged rabbits. We just never stop. Anyway, we were lying next to each other on the bed in the full afterglow.
Steady, tiger.
And what it was the gloaming of romance around us. And I just turned to, you know, one of those moments where you just turn to your partner, you ask them an intimate question.
Mm.
And you don't really think about it. You don't really think that, you know, you don't weigh it up and everything. But I just said to her, I said, dare I ask you, darling, how many people you've, done it with? And she looked at me and she said,
you cheeky kid.
How many people I've been to bed with? That's my business. Oh, look, so I said, well, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were a professional.
God, you cheeky monkey. You cheeky monkey. Flipping heck. Talk about being gallant, not. Gee whiz. there's no gallant in you at all, is there?
No. Did you know America have named a state out of a bucket of fried chicken?
Stop it, Banksy.
Are we going on with this show or not?
It's supposed to be a romantic week this week because it's Valentine's.
I was trying to be romance and rock and roll altogether. I was just trying to be. I thought it was a lovely romance.
Before I forget, I'm just going to say hi to Naomi, Natalie and Amanda, who I've been, as they put it, their guide this week.
That's right.
Oh, dear.
And may I send them all my best wishes to... They are lovely people.
They are indeed. They are indeed.
So, a lot of respect.
Hopefully we will talk to them next week, boys and girls. Moving along, this is one for Lee already. There's so much in this programme this week that's all for Lee. We've got Jim Morrison, we've got Bob Dylan, and now especially for Lee, we've got a pensioner.
Well, I know that. You know, I just was with...
But has anybody seen a picture of Lee?
No, don't do that. It's the pensioner who does fighting.
A Scottish pensioner has become one of the only seven living people to hold judo's highest rank. Now, apparently, Mr. Kerr is 72 years old, and he's got a 10th Dan black belt.
You know, funny enough, this is an actual fact.
Yeah.
My builder is called Dan. And I haven't seen him since the 10th of last month.
Well, you know I've got a black belt in origami, don't you?
That was the first time in 12 months you've made me laugh.
And apparently, good old George is only one of five non-Japanese recipients of the award. So well done, mate. 72 years young. Yeah. And he's done all sorts of amazing things. And to get 10th Dan, I can remember putting on my white belt at Taekwondo and going, oh, my God, this is going to kill me. And
you said origami.
Ah, I lied. I can do a bit of Taekwondo still even now, but my muscles are a bit naff.
Yeah, you've just got to stop tying people up. Yeah.
And apparently, Mr. Kerr was inaugurated as a member of the Scottish Sports Hall of Fame in 2000. He's amazing character, isn't he? And he won the European Championships in Rotterdam in 1957.
I know.
Unbelievable.
So, and he's been honoured by the Japanese government.
Yeah, I know. And then, what an amazing... We had to include that story because I just want to say congratulations, Mr. Kerr. You're a wonderful tribute to people over 25 who think they're dying in their chairs or something idiotic.
Actually, it's quite a tribute to people over the age of 55. Or 65.
You're clutching at straws now.
No, I'm not old. Will you leave me alone? I'm going to have to see a psychiatrist after the way you treat
me. What, you're going to go back again?
Yeah, I love it, man. It was the best time of my life. talking about
trick cyclist. Still to come in the programme, there's loads of Lee's news. and we're going to whiz off to Australia now.
Are we doing the follower?
Probably.
Go on then.
Yeah, we'll do Australia. And I just can't even begin to...
There's followers in Australia.
I can't even believe this has happened. An Australian performance artist set a new Guinness World Record by swallowing 18 swords at the same time. He's got to be a sharp character. And
I thought he did it one after the other. I thought he must be absolutely jam-packed, falling. I've led poorly. Well,
no, he's 18 at the same time. He's known as apparently he's known as the Space Cowboy. I think he'd have to be. He's been shoving these swords down his neck. He beat his own record, which was set in 2008, by swallowing the swords. Each of them, 72 centimetres long, which is 28 and a half inches, nearest, damn it, in Sydney. Can you imagine? Gee whiz. Thank God.
What's the biggest thing you've ever had in your mouth? No, I'm thinking like a big sandwich. Like one of those batons.
You little mucky pup. he actually says in an interview, I don't just straight away grab 18 blades and shove them down my throat. You've got to practice a lot and build up to it, he says. You've knocked your microphone out, I can tell.
Hey, I have. I have. How did you know?
because you've got rubbish sound now, you pillock. Professional, bro. Yeah, I can hear you now.
How did you know that you're spooky?
No, everybody around the world could hear the rubbish audio you got from your computer before you unplugged it. Quickly move down to. I just think this is so wrong, and it's something that galled me years and years and years ago, which is probably why I've got such an affection for this part of the world, namely Slovakia, where years ago, and I think it's worth noting that, you know, in 1989, which is not that long ago, really, people in the area where I lived were not allowed to listen to programming from around the world. And I think the Iranian government should take notice of that, because apparently three of the main international broadcasters have actually been jammed, all right? Think about it, boys and girls. They have been jammed by the Iranian government. And that includes...
You'll have to explain this to me.
Yeah, well, what? Well, in fact, I can. It's quite simple, really. The BBC, Deutsche Welle and Voice of America have said that there's jamming on their signal coming...
Hang on, just let me interrupt.
What?
Not the Rock and Roll Inc.
What?
Jamming. Bob Marley.
Yeah, right. And the what they've been doing is jamming the signals coming from the satellite.
We're jamming.
Stop it. And therefore blocking some of the signals. Now, some of you may be sitting at home going, what?
We're jamming.
What? How do you jam a satellite? Well, I can tell you how it's done, boys and girls, because we had a little accident years ago.
We did.
I was doing a television program, legitimately.
Oh, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. I was doing a television. I always doing a television program.
You sound just like somebody I know.
Not Martina.
No. And what you do is you from a big dish at the ground, you squirt this signal up to the sky, sort of 26,000 kilometres up, and it bounces back down to your telly via a dish, right? Now, what happened in our case, we were doing this programme for British Telecom. And
called them
squirty. No, well, Deutsche Telekom thought they were on one channel and they weren't ready to go on this channel. And they were shoving this signal up and it actually interfered with our signal because two signals going at the same place muck it all up. So the Iranians are breaking so many international treaties. And this is what's going to happen. Eventually, normal Iranian people will go, they're not letting us find out what's happening around the world. And then eventually, what will happen is the Iranians will catch up with what's going on in the real world, and they'll say, sod off.
Yeah.
And we'll do our own thing. And the joke of it is, and people used to think satellites were the most secure way of doing stuff, now smart Iranians are actually using the internet, so they'd probably be listening to us. God forbid. Poor people. well, listening to me. I mean, we're not exactly representative of the Western world, are we?
No, we're not. No. Are we not, really?
No.
I kind of like what we do represent, actually, at some stage.
That could be an interesting debate with a psychiatrist, I think. The Iranian citizens will work out how to get hold of stuff via mobile phones, through internet proxy services and the like. So all that's going to happen is you're going to drive these people away from satellite and stick them somewhere else where it's not even... I mean, even the Chinese can't totally control it. And that's a fact. That's a fact of life. So I think
that is a fact of life, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if any of you got a clearer idea of what that was all about.
Well, basically, you shouldn't try and do censorship, like that, because
no,
it's just
censorship.
Not...
No, censorship is a bad thing.
Absolutely,
censorship is a bad, bad thing.
Yeah, and I've still got a couple more to squeeze in on my side of things before the break. And we're going to do a little bit of a. We're going to be sensible now, Lynn, do a warning.
Should we do the council tax thing? Gosh, should we do that in a bit?
No, we'll do that after the break.
All right.
Because then we go on to your list. Yeah, we'll give you a warning. Now, there's lots spoken about sensibly surfing the internet and trying to learn that which is quality and that which is complete rubbish.
Yes.
Apparently, there's a new group on Facebook that claims to offer regular people the opportunity to become ambassadors for Google.
I've seen this, you know. I think I've been invited to be one.
I'm not surprised. there's nothing really surprising about that until you start to question what's behind it.
Go on, then I'll now, question it.
Like me and Lee, we are hard-nosed, miserable gits as journalists.
Bad-tempered,
yes.
Awkward,
yeah.
Arrogant.
Cussed, the whole yeah. works. So
drunken.
I just kind of looked at Facebook, and on Facebook there's a proper Google group run by Google. So yeah. why would you have two? I was thinking to myself. And what?
Oh. Is what, this something that you've uncovered?
So what is the ambassador group for? So I thought, well, hang on, I'll go on to the group, I'll join it, and I just started off by asking if the group was official or not. Yes or no? No, it's no big deal, is it, if it's legit? Now, I would like Lee to...
this is very interesting.
I'd like Lee to be my hard-nosed journalist and explain what this means.
I'll do my damnedest. I love it when I get involved in this show.
Right, so, I get a reply that says, I won't say if they endorse the programme, but there are a number of Google professionals in the group and a number of developers. Google is well informed of our existence... I'm sorry, I'm just reading this as it's written. Google is well informed of our existence, is sure. And several employees involved as members, you decide for yourself. Correct. So what does that mean then?
I have absolutely no idea.
Well, it's not a yes, is it?
I have no idea whether it's a yes, no, stick it up your jumper or whatever. I have no idea what that means, Eric.
So we are...
It's just typical corporate speak. The death of passage of information.
So it carries on. We are expert users and provide positive free publicity for them as well as help others use Google.
Sounds like a PR person, really. Yeah.
So what we did is we looked up...
Well, you did.
The person who's writing it. So we haven't really got a yes, it's endorsed by Google out of that, have we?
No.
Now, when we look this bloke up on the net himself, the guy who was writing to us, right, he appears to be the same man that was just a regular guy, ordinary Joe on the street, and then magically became a colonel. It's not Elvis Presley, is it?
And it's not that state of Kentucky, is it?
And then when you look up on one of them, it's what the profile of this guy is. It says, much of the consulting work he engages is sensitive and performed anonymously. So, boys
and... Sorry, you saved yourselves absolutely.
So, boys and girls, we've got some advice for you.
Yeah, we have. Go on, then.
And
let's
this is
the advice.
This is really, really... You should do this all the time.
Yes, you should.
Don't just carte blanche believe what you read on the net. Question it. Don't just take the first Google answer. Don't just take something that's appeared on Facebook and think it's legitimate. By
all
means...
Not, because you can make a mistake, like we know somebody who did this week.
That's true. By all means, join an ambassadors group if you're going to get some knowledge from it. Go for it. No problem. But do not share any information with groups you're not 100% sure of that they're official. Sorry, that was my Twitter going off. And if you're not sure, email the company they're claiming to represent... to verify the legitimacy of it.
And well, this is actually what you're talking about. It's just the law of the world, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not anything actually that specific to the internet. You should do this anyway.
With everything. And until you're 100% sure of any group and making sure it's official, don't buy anything, don't sign up to anything that they would offer you, because you can't be sure it's real. So if it's something to do with Postcard from Poprad, the simple answer is email Eric and Lee, because we're it.
That's absolutely 100% right. And the other thing is, stand up for yourselves as well.
Yeah.
Stand up for yourself. Just because somebody says something about their company and how it affects you, you don't have to accept that. You are a human being. You are a free human being. Stand up for yourself
absolutely.
And fight for your rights.
fight for your rights to party. Oh, sorry, wrong song.
Who was that? Who did that one?
I can't remember now. 5 years. Oh, it's gone. Anyway, so just be very safe out there, boys and girls, because we don't know for sure. They don't know for sure. And if nobody's, and I've looked on the Google website for this proposed project. I can't find it.
Can't you?
No.
Isn't that a... It's just a...
Isn't that surprising?
Yeah.
Let's let Lee get all excited. Now, cold shower Lee. Cold shower, Lee.
I'm having one now.
I'm going to say the entire two words this week as a special treat for Valentine's Day for you.
For me, it's my Valentine's Day treat.
Here it comes. Ready? Bob Dylan.
Oh, it's like it made it. Ooh.
Oh, that's the last time you get it this year. Well, maybe again for your birthday.
Here's what I'm saying. Rock and roll, man. Rock and roll.
Yep. So Bob Dylan has performed at the White House concert hosted by US President Barack Obama, honouring the leaders and musicians of the civil rights movement. Good on you, Dylan. I have to say, though, he's sounding a bit oldly. Sorry. He sang the Times They Are A-Changing.
Yes.
But it wasn't quite the Bob Dylan I know.
Well, no, because he's changed. He's changed everything about himself. He's changed the way he looks, the way he writes, the way he performs.
Yeah.
He no longer plays guitar all the time. He plays organ most of the time now.
What, Bob Dylan plays with his organ all the time?
Well, he's 72. No, he's not. That's a complete lie. 68.
Sorry. And apparently he was joined by Smokey Robinson, Jennifer Hudson, and the Blind Boys of Alabama. So good on you.
I've listened to it. I've not heard.
Yeah, I did have a listen this morning in the office before we started. And it wasn't bad, actually, but...
Oh, get lost. Don't be so patronising to rock and roll gods.
No, but it's like, you know, do you remember listening to the Rolling Stones in the 60s?
Yeah.
Then when you come across Mick Jagger live today, it's not quite the same, is it?
Well, of course it isn't. You're not the same as you were in the 60s. I'm not the same as I was in the 60s. But the difference between Dylan and the Stones is that Dylan has changed, has grown and transmogrified himself into something special, something new, something unusual. Yeah. He's not an oldie artist, although he did at this concert.
Yeah, but that's a classic. I have to say, Lee, that is a classic.
He's 50 years old.
I just said Bob Dylan's a classic. Oh, my God.
But I just accept it. I can't be moved by your generosity towards his royal fondness.
fair play to him. One quickie before the break.
You do realise he's had two number one albums in the last 6 months?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Now, how many people of a quarter of his age can claim that?
Well, that's true. I have to say this is a bit worrying, and I'm not sure how it's going to pan out, and I hope it's going to pan out the right way for the musicians, because they're the people that will lose out. Apparently, Warner Music is going to stop licensing its songs to free music streaming services like Spotify, We7, Last.fm, etc., where Warner currently licenses the music for listening to absolutely free. My only concern with doing that, boys and girls, is you're just going to invite more piracy. I just think by doing it. Because, let me explain something. When we were wee lads, me and Lee, we had vinyl records, didn't we, mate? He's gone again. Oh, he has as well. sorry, I'll carry on. We had the...
I'm here!
Oh, sorry. We had vinyl records, didn't we?
We did, they'll sing, you said, yeah, you make your ashtrays out of them.
Yeah, right. And you used to copy them onto cassette.
That's right.
Using some rubbish old recording system to actually play them in your car or whatever. Now, with all these anti-piracy digital music rights software stuff that they have these days, the trouble is, when you've got downloaded it onto your iPhone, you put a little jack in the side of it to listen on your headphones. Now, the smart people who want to copy it plug another jack, which is connected to that jack, into another computer, and they record it anyway. So you're not actually helping.
You're not.
No.
Well, there is a question that always concerns me about this.
Go on.
How do the artists who create the music actually earn?
Well, I think it's kind of like going into, years ago, going into your record shop, getting a record put on... in the booth so you could listen to it before you bought it.
Yeah.
And that was normal. No, the musician didn't get paid for that time when you listened to the...
I wonder, surely there must have been a performing rights aspect.
No, you didn't. The man who was wrote the song never got a penny for that listen-to effect. And,
right.
And that's what sold the music.
Now, that was an advert.
Of course it was. And that's where I think... Some of these online music companies, you just wake up a little bit and go, yeah, let's leave it there because they'll probably buy the album anyway, or they will buy it from one of these sites where you can listen to, so they don't have to keep logging on, they can put it on their MP3 player or whatever, and actually, you know, carry on that way around. I just think it's a bit of a mistake how some of the music industry is approaching the whole subject of piracy. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we've got to take a short break. We'll be right back.